Hi, I'm Nigel Baker, and you're listening to The Future Financial Advisor. We're running this podcast to create an avenue for advisors to share their thoughts and their best interests and really trying to attract those advisors who want to take the industry forward. What we want is great businesses are really making a difference and really making a big impact to their clients, and we want to know how they're doing it. So in this series, we're going to be discussing the latest digital platforms, some best practices, evidence-based investing strategies. We want to give financial advisors the tools they need to help more investors improve their financial well-being. So if you're ready to take the industry forward, modernize your advisory practice and reach a new generation of investors and the new generation of advisors, then this show is for you.
So all our recordings and podcasts are general advice. All the content, all the people interviewing here, it's all their own opinions and all their own views. In no way does it constitute any personal advice or recommendations. If you need specific advice, please go and seek an advisor. Thanks very much.
So welcome to this episode of The Future Financial Advisor. In this topic, we're talking about what the advice industry will look like in the future. What will it look like in 2030? Maybe 2025 is close enough for big changes. And it's changing so much already. So I entered this industry in around 2000, 2001. I was doing my chartered accounting and actually jumped into a job initially with a little stockbroker and then ANZ Bank and a small little financial planning business. And wow, lots of different experiences there. I learned from some great people, saw some strange behavior. Never saw anything crook, but certainly saw some culture that maybe led to some problems 20 years down the track. And then actually jumped back into a chartered accounting practice and became a partner there. And so I've sort of seen different business models. I've seen percentage, you know, commissions. I've seen fixed fees. I've seen fee for service. I now have my own. I can't use the word independent properly, I suppose, but privately owned practice. We'll delete that word independent, of course. And I've been running that for 10 years. You know, any industry have left, and many I've seen. I've had two calls in the last few days of people wanting to sell their practices. It's been tough the last couple of years. COVID, of course, but the regulations have forced many out, the educational requirements. So where do we go with that? I mean, if you're in the industry and you honestly believe there is some great opportunity, then how do we build practices of the future that are much better, much more robust? You know, we're here to help people, but how do we make sure those practices are really efficient and really successful so we can help more people? Because what we don't want in 10 years is another sort of collapse, and that's not a great outcome for Australians. There's approximately 9 million Australians who need advice, give or take, maybe a few more, but let's call it around 9 million of an age group who do really need advice. And the number of financial advisors in the country has gone from roughly 30,000 to it might land at about 17,000 after all the changes. Those advisors left are already pretty busy. The ones I talk to are. There's not many who are saying they're not busy. There's lots of work out there. Lots of people still needing advice, and they're capped out. So a good advisor might be able to really help, you know, maybe 100 clients, but really, you know, in a deep way, 20, 30, 40, 50, depending on the sort of client they're looking after, of course. Some might be able to help more depending on their complexity. A lot of advisors I talk to say, look, they love helping those complex clients, but they do have a passion to help others. People get referred to them who aren't that complex, or they might be family or friends or someone, and they're not just saying that hopefully one day that person earns a lot of money and they become a big client. They actually have a genuine calling to help that person. But as we all know, the cost to service a client, depending on where you are and your business model, can range from a couple of $1,000 to $10,000 just to have a client on the books. It's uneconomic. You can't just bring someone in the door and say, look, we're going to help you and charge you 10 grand, but they, you know, they don't have the means to pay that. So you need some ideas to say, well, how do we help those people using digital technology, and how do we use the legislation to help service people under different models? So here's what I think. I think the industry will move forward and have different models where great advisory practice will have their complex clients, and we all know how that works, and you can still make that better, a lot more efficient. And I think those services are going to broaden, and you're going to be a real wealth manager in those areas, not just an investment specialist, which perhaps a lot were in the past, or perhaps they thought they were, but much more a coordinator and a wealth manager of that client's financial affairs and coordinating tax and estate matters and succession. And yes, investments are important, but it's part of the piece. And whether or not they charge fixed fees or percentage, I don't really mind, as long as the client knows. In my experience, clients don't really matter. This whole debate about fixed or percentage, some people get their knickers in a knot, so to speak, about it. What I've seen is they're actually going to ask clients what they would like, and actually, some clients have got no problem with percentage-based fees as long as they know what the fee is. Some prefer fixed. I think you've just got to be able to have a business where you can explain it properly and make sure it's transparent and you're not getting any conflicts. And as long as it's transparent and it makes sense, there's nothing really wrong with a percentage model. There's plenty of great businesses out there who use percentage model, I can tell you now. There's plenty of great businesses who use fixed. There's some really bad businesses who use percentage because they use it the wrong way. And there's really bad businesses who use fixed and are really unprofitable because they haven't got the pricing right. So fixed is really dangerous. Percentage is dangerous. dangerous if you're using it in the old way of like more commission. But if you're using it as a way to represent your service and fees, again, this isn't the time for that debate. But let's move away from that. Let's talk about what a good advisor want to do in the future and how do they offer multiple services. So you've got high-end complex clients. You've got perhaps some not so complex clients, but they still need your help. You know, they might need retirement advice. They might just want to outsource their investment management. They're not overly complex, but there's a service there and clients are willing to pay for that, and there's great client value there. But then there's the clients who perhaps don't need a lot of advice but would like to touch base with a high quality advisor. And how do we do that? So in my view, that's where digital really comes in, and digital will flow through practices, but really we can use digital right now in the current legislation. There's nothing stopping you. People get worried about some of the legislation, but there's nothing stopping you offering limited services to certain types of clients as long as you swim between the lanes. And you might need help in terms of how to swim between the lanes, and perhaps we can help you. We've gone through this journey and I'd be interested in other thoughts. But you either, with those clients, you either don't help them or you refer them away. And that's not a great outcome for that client, because that client goes, well, where do I go? I go to a bank, well, they don't offer financial advice anymore. I go to online, but I don't want a robo. And as an advisor, maybe I don't want the robo service, because then I lose contact with that client. And that could be the son of, or the daughter, or the nephew or niece of one of my great clients who said, can you help out my niece? And you say, no, we can't. And they say, well, that's, why not? You know, that's not a great outcome. And that niece, for all we know, in 5 years' time, inherits that money or whatever the case may be. And then they've drifted. You've lost that contact. So what we want to create is a service model that gives them contact, gives them some great quality information and outcomes. And as the advisory business, you're able to connect with them and make sure that you're providing a great client experience at all levels. But you don't want to get bogged down there. That can't take too much time, can it? You don't want to be spending 5 hours there setting that client up. So that's got to be digital, low touch, but with access. In the middle, a bit more of a hybrid. And obviously, therefore, if you can spend most of your time as an advisor in front of clients, seeing clients, explaining strategies, then you're going to have a great practice if you're charging correctly for that. So that's what I think. I think the great advisory practice will morph, and they'll actually end up helping thousands of people, but differently. Right now, you'd say, how can I help 1,000 people? Of course you can if you've got different models and services and we're using digital. So that's what we're thinking. I'd love to hear your thoughts. The future of the advice industry is great. There's some great quality advisors out there. There's some people really trying to make a difference and really trying to make a change. There's lots who are leaving, and that's understandable, but the ones left, the ones that want to make a difference, who really want to help people, really want to make a big impact on people's lives, then there's great opportunity. Really keen to hear your thoughts. What does the future of the advice industry look like, and what do you think it looks like? Reach out on LinkedIn or message us, and we'd love to hear from you. You've been listening to The Future Financial Advisor. So if you've been enjoying the show, please make sure to share it with your network and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. Or if you've got some ideas or thoughts or would like to come on as a guest or know someone who would be a great guest, then please let me know. To learn more about Scientium, just go to our website, scientium.com.au, or look me up on LinkedIn. Look forward to speaking with you and see you on the next episode.